2, 3, and 4. Last Sunday night, we looked at Proverbs chapter 2, and we talked about that wisdom protects our walk. Now, what we want to do tonight is look at Proverbs chapter 3 and 4. And we're dividing this up into two parts, and we're going to see that wisdom, as chapter 2 said, it protects our walk. We're going to see that, number 2, wisdom directs our walk. And number 3, for the total of both these lessons, that wisdom perfects our walk. So tonight, we're going to think about that wisdom directs and perfects our walk. Proverbs chapter 3 and 4 is where we will be as we think about this this evening. And as I have told you before, for these two lessons particularly, I'm using Brother Hugo McCord's translation of the New Testament, of the Old Testament book of Proverbs. He also has a New Testament translation that is very helpful and insightful. And as we read from that, if it sounds a little different from what you may have on hand with yourself, it's because I'm reading from Brother McCord's particular translation. And it's kind of interesting how some things work from time to time. And as you're thinking about particular lessons and particular things to include in a lesson, and how you're going to take an approach on a particular lesson, this last week, I was pulling some notes off of a calendar that I have, as little sayings on it every day. And in conjunction with tonight's lesson, one of the things last week said, if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. And that's what we want to avoid. We want to know where we're going. We want to have the wisdom that God has given us in His Word, and especially as we think about it from the book of Proverbs, to find the right path, to focus on the right path, and to follow the right path. And, you know, there's an outline there for the book of Proverbs, to find and focus and follow. And that's what we want to do. And we don't want to take just any road, because just any road will just take us anywhere, and we may not want to go just anywhere. We want to go where God wants us to go. And so as we develop our lesson tonight, we're going to spend our time first in Proverbs chapter 3, thinking about that wisdom directs our path. That's point number one tonight. It's really point number two in this two-part lesson. But for tonight, it's the first thing we want to cover. And as we think about it, there are really five areas covered in chapter 3 that help us see how wisdom directs our path. And as we develop that, here they are. Number one, listen to the Word. Listen to the Word. Verses 1 through 4 of Proverbs chapter 3 tell us, my son, do not forget my instruction, and let your heart keep my commandments, for length of days and years of life and of peace they will add to you. Let not kindness and truth forsake you. Bind them on your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, and you will find favor and good reputation in the eyes of God and of mankind. Listen to the Word. If we're going to find the wisdom that we need to be on the right path, to make the right choices, to end up at the right destination, then we need to listen to the Word. We need to listen to the Word of God. And here, as this is being written, it says, do not forget my instruction. Let your heart keep my commandments. And we have to realize that God's will is found in God's Word. And so if we're going to know what the will of God is, we've got to read our Bibles. We've got to study our Bibles. And this is more than just a regimented reading program, as helpful and beneficial and as much a blessing as they are. This is that I'm taking time to personally invest in reading and studying and contemplating the Word of God. Psalm 1 on that law, on the Word, you meditate day and night. We listen to the Word. Number two, we obey the Word. We're talking about wisdom directing our path. Number one, we listen to the Word. Number two, we obey the Word. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, and this is probably a very familiar passage to us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Keep reading down through verse 10. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Reverence the Lord and depart from evil. It will be healing for your muscles and refinement for your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of your crops. So will your storehouses be filled with an abundance, and your vats will overflow with new wine. As you read those verses 5 through 10, it's talking about the necessity of obeying the Word and the positive consequences that are resultant of obeying the Word, and how God will bless us when we do that very thing. But as you notice the text, it's telling us that if we really trust God, we really believe God and we really trust God, we'll obey Him. We will do what He says. We will believe and do. We will trust Him, as the text says, with all our heart. We will not lean on our own understanding. You see, we have understanding. God's given us brains. God's given us minds to comprehend and to contemplate and to make decisions and to arrive at conclusions. But sometimes we put too much stock and too much trust in our own selves, and we forget about God. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, in all my ways, in all our ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct our paths. And we find the will of God in the Word of God. So we listen to the Word, and number two, we obey the Word. We are expected to use our brains. We are expected to use the abilities that God has given us for thinking. But we cultivate that, and we wrap that in our faith in God. And when we cultivate and wrap our thinking in our with our faith in God, God will direct our paths. And then we'll see the great blessings that will follow as are discussed in verses 7, 8, 9, and 10. Number three, submit to the Word. Number one, you listen to the Word. Number two, you obey the Word. But number three, you submit to the Word. And there's a slight distinction that I think we ought to make between just obeying the Word and submitting to the Word. You know, you can obey things without your heart being in it. We've all done that as children, haven't we? To our parents and teachers. We did what they said, but we didn't want to on the inside. We did not submit. We just mechanically followed what we were told to do to avoid punishment. There's a difference between just cold-hearted obedience and a heart of submission. And so we need to submit ourselves to the Word. Look at verses 11 and 12. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord, and do not be weary of His reproof. For God loves whom He reproves, even as a father delights in his son. Like I said, sometimes we obey to avoid the discipline, the punishment, the consequences that are negative that follow. But you see, there's something deeper when we think about submitting to the Word. And that's that we're beginning to put our trust. We lean not on our own understanding. We put our trust in Him. In all our ways, we acknowledge Him. And so we know, although we may not see it clearly yet, we know there's a better purpose for what's going on. We know that we are obeying. We know that we're doing what God says because God has our best at heart. He doesn't want to harm us. Yes, sometimes we have to be disciplined. Sometimes we have to go through these processes. But let me tell you something. It's about correction and not destruction. The discipline of God is to correct us, to build us, to encourage us, not to destroy us. It's to destroy sin. It's to destroy a stubborn heart and a hard heart. But it's not to destroy our will and our faith. It's about correction and not destruction. And so we find ourselves submitting more than just checking off a box or filling in a blank. Our heart is in this. Even when things seem a little tough and the discipline of God may be directing us and motivating us to do the right thing. So we listen, we obey, we submit, and then fourth from our text, we treasure the Word. Again, we're talking about wisdom directing our path. And if wisdom is going to direct our path, then we've got to listen to the Word. We've got to obey the Word. We've got to submit to the Word. And number four, we've got to treasure the Word. Look, if you will, at verse 13 and following. And as you read verses 13 and following, I want you to listen to the blessings that come to those who believe and obey the will and Word of God. Listen to the blessings that are in store for those who seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Listen to what happens to those who believe and obey, to those who listen, obey, and submit. Verse 13 down through verse 26. Happy are they who find wisdom. Yes, they who get understanding. Her dividend is better than the dividend of silver, and a profit more than the profit of gold. She is more precious than pearls, and nothing you desire is her equal. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her paths are paths of pleasantness, and peace is in all her ways. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Happy are those who cleave to her. By wisdom, the Lord founded the earth, and by understanding, He established the heavens. By His knowledge, the oceans break open and the clouds drop dew. My son, do not let them out of your sight. Guard sound wisdom and good judgment, for they will be your life. They will be life for your soul and adornments for your neck. Then you will walk in safety and not stumble. When you sit down, you will not be afraid. And when you lie down, your sleep will be pleasant. You will not be afraid of sudden terror, nor the destruction that comes on the wicked, for the Lord will be your confidence and your security. You see, we treasure the Word. It's more than just a law to obey. It's more than just words on a page. It's something that we treasure. It's something that's dear and precious to us. It's something that gives us life and honor and blessings. And again, if you would take the time to go back and read verses 13 through 26 a little more methodically than perhaps we have done for this lesson, you will see those great blessings that are in store for those who treasure the Word, those who listen, obey, and submit. But then finally, in chapter 2, as we think about wisdom directing our paths, there are five things in this chapter that tell us about wisdom directing our paths. And we find all of that in the Word of God, because that's where the wisdom of God is. We read the Word, we obey the Word, we submit to the Word, we treasure the Word, and then fifth, from this text, we exemplify the Word. And there's a very practical application in the last few verses of this chapter of the life that results and the behavior that results in the life of who has listened, obeyed, submitted, and treasured God's Word. How does that person behave? How does that person act? What does that person do? Jesus told us in the Sermon on the Mount that we are to be the salt and light of the world. That's what you find right here in the last several verses of this chapter. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 27, exemplify the Word. What do we do? Do not hold back good from those from one whose right it is when it is within your power of hand to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back, for tomorrow I will give, when you have something with you. Do not devise evil against your neighbor who lives trustfully beside you. Do not contend with a man for no reason if he has done you no harm. Do not envy men of violence and choose none of their ways. For perverted men are an abomination to the Lord. His friendship is with the upright. The Lord's friendship is with the upright. Cursed of the Lord is the house of the wicked, but he blesses the dwelling of the righteous. On the one hand, he mocks the mockers. And on the other hand, he favors the afflicted. The wise will receive honor, but proud fools, disgrace. You see, that's how we exemplify the word. It's not just enough to listen and to obey and to submit and even to treasure it up if we just keep it to ourselves. You see, wisdom, remember what this point is called? Wisdom directs our path. Wisdom determines how we behave. The Word of God determines what we believe. The wisdom that we find there and apply determines how we behave. There's a difference in the way that Christians ought to live in the world versus those who don't believe the Word of God and don't want to follow the will of God. We have wisdom that is directed by God and His Word. And so it directs our paths. And we have not only heard the Word, we have not only believed and obeyed and submitted and treasured the Word, we exemplify the Word, which is what Jesus told us to do. You are the salt of the earth. You are a city set on a hill. We are to be the light to those who are lost to guide them to Jesus. Wisdom directs our paths. But now, secondly this evening, as we move into chapter 4, we want to see how wisdom perfects our path. Number one, in chapter 2, last Sunday night, we saw that wisdom protects our path. We have just seen from chapter 3 that wisdom directs our path. But now from chapter 4, wisdom perfects our path. And as you look at chapter 4, and we move into this second half of the lesson, we want to see how that happens. And the way that we're going to see that unfold in this chapter as we unpack what's taught in this chapter, there are three key ideas. There are five ideas in chapter 3 that we have just stressed. There are three key ideas to unpack this chapter to see how wisdom will help perfect our path, grow and mature and make it what God wants it to be. And as we think about that, we are to seek. There's something we're to seek. There's something we are to avoid. And third, there's something we are to guard. So we seek wisdom, we avoid sin, and we guard our heart. That's the three ways we're going to unpack what chapter 4 has to say to us. So number one, as we think about wisdom perfecting our path, we are to seek after wisdom. Look at verses 1 through 13. Proverbs 4, verses 1 through 13. And the idea here is to seek after wisdom. Hear, my son, the instruction of a father, and pay attention to gain understanding. For I will give you good instruction. Do not forsake my teaching. I was a son to my father, tender and irreplaceable to my mother. He taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast to my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of wisdom. Do not leave wisdom and she will keep you. Love her and she will watch over you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Get wisdom. And with all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will lift you up. If you embrace her, she will honor you. She will place on your head a wreath of beauty and a crown of splendor. Listen, my son. Take my words, and the years of your life will be many. I will instruct you in the way of wisdom and direct you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your steps will not be difficult. When you run, you will not stumble. Take hold of instruction. Do not let it slip away. Guard it, for it is your life. Wisdom perfects our path, but it will only do that when we seek wisdom with all that is within us. With all you're getting, get wisdom and get understanding. Do all that you can. Do all that is possible. Not just to learn facts, but to learn wisdom. How to use the facts, the know-how. How to apply what you've learned. It's not just knowledge, it's applying the knowledge. And in all that we do, seek it. Keep it. It will bless us. The story is told in the late 1800s of a whaling ship that was down on the South Seas. And they had come across a rather large whale. And as they were trying to attack the whale and making it vulnerable so they could capture it, they kind of got into a race with one another as they were chasing the whale a little bit. And the whale, having gained a little bit of speed and distance on them, turned and hit the bow of the ship. It turned it sideways far enough that it began to fill with water. The sailors knew we're going to sink. And so they called for all the lifeboats to be brought out and all the essentials to be put in them. They forgot about the whale. They were focusing on their own salvation at this point. And everyone was able to get onto a lifeboat. And as the water was getting near the deck, as the bottom was filling up, they were able to sort of shove off the few lifeboats, and everyone was okay. Suddenly, two men jumped off one of the lifeboats and swam back to the sinking ship. A door to the hull was still open and accessible, and they went in, and they came back out carrying a box. And just as they came out, the ship was drawn completely under the surface of the water, and a small whirlpool even pulled them under, and the box they had was separated from them and was floating in the water. But they resurfaced, and they found their box and very bravely swam back to the lifeboat. What was in that box? What was more valuable to these men than life itself? What was it that these men were so willing to risk their very lives to find, to get, to bring back? The compass to the ship. In all the haste, it had been forgotten. And they found the compass and brought it back because it was the only thing they knew that would guide them to land. In all your getting, get the one thing that will guide you to the land where you need to be. Seek wisdom. But not only seek wisdom, as this chapter tells us, avoid sin. Secondly, avoid sin. Look at verses 14 through 19. Avoid sin. Do not enter into the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not pass by it. Turn from it and pass along. For they do not sleep until they have done evil, and they stay awake until they have caused someone to stumble. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. The path of the righteous is like the dawn, shining brighter and brighter until full day. The path of the wicked is darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. Look at the contrast here between the path of the righteous and the path of the wicked. And this point that we're trying to make from chapter 4 is that wisdom perfects our paths. The path of the wicked is darkness. It leads to darkness. It causes them to stumble. And it's just darker and darker and darker the further they go. But the path of the righteous shines brighter and brighter and brighter, because it's better and better and better. I'm not talking about self-righteousness. I'm talking about the righteousness of God, the righteousness of Christ that we're trying to follow based on His mercy and grace in our own lives. Yes, we live in the world. Yes, we are surrounded by sin and temptation. But as the old saying goes, it's okay for the boat to be in the water. Think about the illustration that I just told you. It's okay for the boat to be in the water, but you know what the rest of it says, don't you? But it's not okay for the water to be in the boat. Love not the world, neither the things of the world. 1 John 2:15. It's okay to be in the world, but we are not to be of the world or like the world. Avoid sin. Avoid the path of darkness. Avoid what makes you stumble. And seek after wisdom. And number three, guard your life. From this chapter you see the ways that wisdom will perfect our paths. You seek it, number one. Number two, you avoid sin. And number three, you guard your life. As you look at verse 20 through the end of the chapter, there is a personal spiritual inventory listed basically in these last 7 or 8 verses of this chapter to determine if I am living in obedience or not. And I can kind of gauge, it serves as a benchmark of where I am on the path. Am I on the right path? Am I on the path that is being perfected? Or am I on the path of darkness where I'm stumbling and everything is falling apart? Verse 20, "My son, pay attention to my words. Turn your ear to my sayings. Do not let them out of your eyesight. Keep them within your heart. To those who find them, they are life, and to all flesh, they are health. Keep your heart under control, for out of it are the issues of life." That's what we're really talking about here, guarding our heart. Keep your heart with all diligence. Keep your heart under control, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from you a fraudulent mouth, and distance yourself from deceitful lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and let your gaze be directly in front of you. Make a path, ponder the path for your feet, and establish your ways. Turn neither to the right nor to the left. Keep your foot away from evil. Look at the personal spiritual inventory that we're talking about here and how involved that it is. He talks about what we're doing with our heart. But in application of that, of keeping our heart under control, keeping our heart with all diligence, look at how this spreads out and branches out for us to take inventory of to see if I'm on the right path or not. He talks about, what am I doing with my ears? What am I doing with my eyes? What am I doing with my lips? What am I doing with my feet? Where am I going? What am I hearing? What am I seeing? Take this inventory, the Holy Spirit tells us through these words. Take this inventory for our own hearts and our own lives and stay on the path. Keep your heart with all diligence.
Brother McCord's translation says, keep your heart under control. Perfect your path by seeking wisdom and avoiding sin. And take this guarding of your heart and my heart seriously. Because the enemy is out there. And he wants us to detour off the path. And the detour off the path leads to nothing but death and destruction. But when we stay on the path that is well lit by the Word of God, wisdom perfects our path. Wisdom directs our path, and wisdom protects our path. And I want you to notice here as we close this out in verse 26, ponder the path of your feet. The Hebrew term here for ponder is to weigh or make level. A related term in the Hebrew language is a word from which the Hebrew language derives the word scales, to weigh something. Weigh the feet, weigh the path that your feet are on. Ponder your path. Think about it. Weigh it. Consider it. What direction are you going in? What direction am I headed? What am I listening to with my ears? What am I seeing with my eyes? Where am I walking with my feet? You know, all that is determined by how I treat my heart. Keep your heart with all diligence. Because that's the beginning point. Give your heart to God. Give your heart to the Lord. And so this evening we extend the invitation of Christ that if you have never given your heart to Jesus, if you have never given your heart to obedience to the gospel, and you are ready to take that path, the path that leads to the brighter and broader way, the path that leads to perfection, the path in which God directs us, we encourage you, would you come as we stand and we sing.